I am thankful to be here tonight, and I am grateful that you are receptive to the Bible. I never worry about what I'm going to preach here as far as it bothering you in a negative way. Now, if the Lord convicts you of something, that's not my business. But if I preach something that is offensive, it is not intentional. I try not to do that. And I am thankful that the Word of God is received in this place as it has been many, many years. It's founded. I appreciate you singing that song this morning. The Bible stands, and this church stands also. And on the foundation of not only the Bible, but the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you a brief report about my new granddaughter. We don't know any more except that her blood sugar had been low. And so they took her from Rachel and put her in some room where I guess they could monitor her closely. But then Rachel did get to go in there and give the baby a bath. And I thought, if I was Rachel, I wouldn't want to get up. But, you know, mothers are different. They'll get up when maybe the daddy wouldn't. I recognize that, and I was so glad to know that Rachel got to do that, because I know it was a good experience and a joy for her. And if you would remember to pray for her and for the little baby and the other one. And for Sarah and I, we hope to go to North Carolina Wednesday. And just the way things worked out, we couldn't go sooner. So I'm thankful to be here, and I want to ask you to look with me for just one verse in Psalm 103 and verse 2, a scripture I think when we look at it, you'll remember. Now, I know that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And he goes on to say, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. A lot of reasons to bless the Lord. And what has struck me in this particular verse is the idea, forget not. Here he lists the benefits that we have from the Lord. And I would encourage each of us to ponder this. Do not forget the benefits of the Lord. We have a song, I know you sing it, count your many blessings, count your blessings. And then name them one by one. Have you ever made a list of two columns? Write down the positive things and the negative things in your life. And when you look on this side, you'll see the positive blessings that have come to you from God. And then if you look at the other side, you can still see the blessings that God gives to you in spite of that. And that's what I want us to kind of look at tonight, because we as human beings have a tendency to forget what we ought to remember. Now, these things definitely you should remember, but I want to talk to you about some other things that the Lord tells us not to forget. Prayer was mentioned about forgetting and remembering. I don't know how much we think about that, but we have a tendency to forget what we ought to remember, and I'll read to you from 2 Peter chapter 3. If you would go there, and I'll try to get there too. The book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. Peter says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now here's this word, remembrance. Don't forget. That's what the psalmist said. Forget not. And it's important for us to understand that Peter says he is doing this deliberately, that he is calling to their attention something that he thinks is important for them to remember and not forget. Then in 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 12. He says this, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of those things." Kind of tells me preachers and teachers ought to do something over and over. And I don't know, but what maybe that's a fault that I have, that I don't do that. That I don't remind people of things that they need to remember. And he says this, "These things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." I remember one lady, I was preaching a series of messages on baptism, and after about the third one, she said, "Why are you preaching on baptism? We already know that." And I thought, you don't know what I've been saying. I didn't tell her that, but she did not know what I had been saying. But, you know, the word baptism was and the doctrine of baptism was not too important, and we know how important the doctrine of baptism is. That's why we're Baptists, you know, that we understand clearly what the Bible says about that. And he says, "Though you know them and be established in the present truth." He's telling them what they already know. So don't blame preachers if they do that. Don't blame preachers if they become so simple that you would say like the lady, "Why are you doing that? I already know that." Well, maybe somebody there needs to hear it. Now, think about Peter. You know these things. But he thinks it's important that he reminds them of these things. Yes, I think it meet or necessary, as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Stir them up. Remind them of these things. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Didn't we read that this morning? The Lord showed Peter what's ahead. And Peter knows that it's not going to be long before that takes place. And when that does take place, Peter won't be here. Peter will not be here to tell them and remind them of these truths that they already know, and evidently God knows that we have a tendency to forget. And so Peter goes on to say, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease." So there's no question about what he's talking about, put off this tabernacle. "To have these things always in remembrance." Remembrance, remembrance, remembrance. Don't we get the idea that Peter is stressing this to be important? If you go back to Psalms, is it not important for us to forget not? It's very important that we forget not the things that the Lord has showed to us. And the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy somewhat along this line in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance." I put thee in remembrance. I want you to remember, Timothy, "that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Now we see in the life of Timothy the gift that came from God and also his ordination. And it sounds to me like Timothy got some kind of a charge. Put you in remembrance. I want you to remember, Timothy, and do what? Stir it up. And some of you know how to build a wood fire or even a coal fire. And when it starts dying down, what do? You plant. Either fan the flames or you stir it up. And so what is he telling Timothy? That Timothy, by way of remembrance, I want you to stir this up. Fan the flame, so to speak. Don't let it die down. Certainly don't let it go out. But the idea that we have is that God is telling us through these writers, by divine inspiration, that we need to remember. We need to stir up and think about the things that we already know. Spurgeon quotes a Dr. Stanford, and I have no idea who he is. And to me, this was a very touching statement when he said, you know, all of us, at some time or the other, we have been with people, different circumstances. And when we depart, whatever the circumstance, that sometimes they will say something like this. Think of me sometimes. Don't forget me. Think of me sometimes. Don't forget me. And isn't it a terrible thing to learn about people that are forgotten? And as I get older, and I know I've been with other older people, it seems like they're forgotten. And whether that was the case, he was talking with older people or not, I think it's true for us of all ages to say to people, think of me sometimes. He didn't say all the time, but think of me sometimes. Don't forget. And I hope that we will not forget each other. And I'm going now to the teaching of the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul, who was taught personally by the Lord Jesus. And you'll know what this means. In Luke 22 and verse 19, he, the Lord Jesus, took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Remembrance of me. And I am so, I don't want to say put out, but sometimes ashamed and sorrowful that some people avoid the Lord's Supper. It's not for me. It's for him. And he says specifically, do this in remembrance of me. And then again in 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 24, he says this about the Lord Jesus. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Reminds you of the cross, doesn't it? Which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament or covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. I get the point, Lord. We are not to forget these simple, precious, profound, eternal truths. And we need to remind ourselves over and over. And when you hear the preacher say something, well, I know he's preached on that before, so what? Peter says, what does he say? Though you know. I want to stir up your mind to remind you of this. And to Timothy, stir up the flame. And if the Lord Jesus Christ said, do this in remembrance of me, I take it to be important. I really do. And as often as you do that, keep him in mind, because it is in remembrance of him. So I want to just say three simple things about, and these are practical matters. I'm not dealing too much with, well, it is teaching, it is doctrine, but anyhow, it's not difficult. Forget not the Lord's people. Now, there was a statement made by the Apostle Paul after he, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, talked about the trials and the troubles and the persecutions and the hardships and the grief that he had. He says this in verse 28 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Besides those things that are without. So he's been talking about these inward conflicts, these inward problems that he has to deal with. That which cometh upon me daily. I want you to underline that word in your mind. Daily, every day, the care of the churches. We talked about loving the church, Brother Pierce. Your daughter said that. And we do love the church. We may not love it like you do, like she said, but we love the church. The Apostle Paul did too. Every day. Every day. And you'll read in some of his prayers that he will say something along this line, that, like to Timothy, being mindful of thy tears. And then he will write to others about the persecutions that they have endured. And the Apostle Paul, although he didn't have television or these smartphones, he knew what was going on in the world with the Lord's people. And so he took it upon himself to remember daily the care of the churches. And he prayed for them. That's how you remember them. You pray for them. And then secondly, I would say to you, forget not the Lord's house. We're living in a time that it seems to me that little by little and more by more and more people are forgetting the Lord's house. There's an interesting record in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. Nehemiah has gone back to do the Lord's work. He was in Babylon, and he went back with the Israelites. And their purpose there, was to rebuild the wall and rebuild the temple. And evidently, he had some kind of agreement with the king. And he went back to Babylon. And he was gone. When you read the account, it was not a short journey by foot. It took him several weeks and months, and he was gone a number of months. I don't know, maybe as much as 2 years. I don't remember. I looked at it one time, and I remember now how long he was gone. But when he came back, in Numbers 13:10, Nehemiah said, I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. Now, if you remember in the Old Testament, God gave a commandment that the people were to give a tithe. And then he breaks it down in different areas. And that tithe was to go to the tribe of Levi, and then to the priest, and then to the high priest. You know, like 10, 10. It was broken down so that each group got a fair share, we would say. So this is what he's talking about, the portion that God had ordained for the priests and Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. So evidently, giving to them would be an encouragement to them. But it would be more than that. It would be their livelihood. And verse 7, he says, in the third month, they began to, I'm in the wrong verse. The Levites and the singers that did the work were fled, every one to his own field. What happened? You know, David got men singers and women singers for the temple. And this is saying here that the Levites and the singers that did the work, they had to leave the work, because they were not given what God had ordained that they should receive. And Nehemiah says, then why is the house of God forsaken? You can make a lot of applications on that. I know some people can't come out at night. Sarah told me today about one lady that didn't come to church. She's about 80, what did she say? 83 or 84 years old, has had a lot of medical problems, and she does not drive when it rains. And I don't blame her. You know, that to me is a good reason not to do that. But she came on about the coldest day we had this year. So it's not all the weather that keeps her away, but kinds of weather. Well, what we're finding here and in our day, I want you to think about it, and I want you to answer this question and tell me why. Why is the house of God forsaken? There must be a reason. There must be a reason why people do not go to church. There must be a reason why people do not support the Lord's work. There's got to be a reason. So Nehemiah said, I gathered them together and set them in their place, then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasury. So he restored what had been lacking. But what did we learn here? They'd forgotten the Lord's house. They did. And evidently they had to be reminded by Nehemiah. Forget not, Peter said, I'm stirring up your minds by way of remembrance, though you know these things. Well, they knew them, but they weren't doing them. And we need to take that into consideration. People do not always do what they know that they ought to do. I don't. Maybe you're like that too. But to the degree that the house of God is forsaken. So I'm saying to you tonight, do not forget the Lord's house. Keep that in mind. And then do not forget the Lord's servants. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, King Hezekiah, you know the great work that he did. And it says in verse 4 that he commanded the people that dwell in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And so they began to stack up in heaps the things he told them about from the third month to the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and they saw these heaps of stores that had been laid up, they blamed the Lord and his people Israel. And Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to the house of the Lord, we have had heat and have left plenty. Lord hath plenty. And that which is left is this great store. Now, what does he say? The people began to remember the Lord's servants, the Levites, and the priests. And they began to bring in what God had told them to. And the Lord blessed them for doing that. And they not only had enough, they had more than enough. And that seems to be the way the Lord works. When you do what the Lord says, He blesses you, and I'm not preaching to you this health and wealth gospel. That's not what I'm saying. I've heard men say, well, you know, the Lord doesn't want you to be poor. Well, I'm glad to know that, but why am I? You know, so you have to think along that line. Well, these are things that I want you to remember. These are things that I would like to stir up your mind such that you would remember the Lord's people, the Lord's house, and the Lord's servants. These are important, not looked upon very, very highly in our day and time. And then I want to talk to you about the negatives. Forget not the negatives. Someone said, and I know who said it, but I won't tell you. I'm not sure which one it is. He got the same name of other men. He says, the problem with nostalgia is that we tend to remember the things we like and forget those things we do not like. So nostalgia, I can't say it now. The idea is, when you think about things in the past, we do tend to remember. And he said one problem is we don't remember bad things. We have a tendency to forget them. And I agree up to the point, and there's some bad things I don't forget. You don't either. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 7, the Lord says through Moses, remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath. They provoked him in the wilderness. Moses says, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came unto this place, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. He said worse things later in another place about these people. Well, what is it? Remember and forget not. What? You've been a rebellious people. They need to be reminded that they didn't do what they should do. And so they are being reminded. And I ask the question, well, why should we remember the negatives, the bad things? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have something of an answer, a reason. Now these things were our examples, what happened in the Old Testament, to the extent we should not lust after evil things. And I want you to go through and count these. I did, but I want you to do it. What he lists here, we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. I don't think we ought to advertise that as a good lifestyle. You think about 23,000 people dying in one day because of that type of sin. Neither let us tempt Christ, which means to me he was in the Old Testament, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. The Lord recounts that in John chapter 3 as well. Neither murmured ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So why think about these bad things, these negative things? Why should we even consider them? That's what he did. Though all men do these things, I won't do it. Some people get that idea. Now, all these things happened to them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world or the age are come. Those things happen in the experience of the life of God's people in order that it might be recorded, in order that we might read about those things and not forget them, that we might be reminded of the consequences of doing evil, of disobeying and being rebellious against the Lord. And Paul concludes his admonition along that line by saying this, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You think you wouldn't lust after evil things? You think you wouldn't maybe follow after idolatry? I don't, but I know I could. I don't think I would do that, but I know I could. And I know that things like that happen. And I try to tell our church folks, I said, you need to be careful about what you do and where you go. Especially if you know that you are tempted in a certain way more than you are in others. I've used this illustration. I ate some fried chicken I wasn't supposed to, but if you put some liver out there, you don't have to worry about my eating that. I'm not. Well, what about the list of sins that Paul gave here? There are examples. And the lesson is, don't do. Remember this. Do not forget this. And this is I think the reasoning behind, we should remember the negative things. Now, we also are to remember the positives. When you go to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18, he says, "Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they might be like frontlets between your eyes. Teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates." What's he saying? Daily, remember these things. If you go out the door and through the gate, there's something there. You see somebody and they've got something on, and it reminds you of the scripture. And I have told some of you, and I think it was good for me, when I was a little boy, my grandmother had a little plaque on the dresser. And I used to wonder about that. And I got a little older and I could read it. And it was the Ten Commandments. And I thought, why is that there? Why is that important? And I learned later as I got older that it is important to have the Word of God in front of you, that you might be reminded and that you might not forget what God says. Some of you know about a case up in Alabama. They did not want the Ten Commandments on a monument in the courthouse lawn. One fellow said, "You know why they don't want that? But someone will come along and said, who wrote that? Moses." Well, who is Moses? And then you start telling them the story about Moses in the Old Testament and how God redeemed his people and how that God is the creator of all things. And this is what God says. They don't want to hear that. They don't want that out there for anybody else to hear. Keep that in mind. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 11, he says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you this day." And in 2 Kings 17:38, "And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, neither shall you fear other gods." What's he saying in these verses? Beware. Be careful. Forget not the Lord thy God. How do you do that? In not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, and his covenant. It's no wonder to me that Peter, by inspiration, said, although you know these things, I'm writing to you to remind you. Life here on earth is getting shorter, and there will be a time when I won't be here. And so while I am here, I want to remind you of these things. Repetition, over and over. I try to get the folks in our church to read the Bible through at least once a year. And some do and some don't. But why do we do that? Somebody said, "You know, I read this the other day, and it said this. I never knew that." Well, you read it last year, didn't you? Well, I may have, but I don't remember it. You know, so what the idea is that we need to remember. We need to be reminded, and one way is by looking at the Lord's Word. So in the New Testament, we're taught the same principle. Paul, or the apostle, whoever wrote Hebrews 13 and verse 16. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not." Forget not. "For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Don't forget to do the things that God has told you to do, because when you do it, God is pleased. You please the Lord. And how can I please the Lord? How can I I please the God of this universe and His Son, the Creator of all things? Well, let me tell you this, that God does not and God will not forget anything that you do that is pleasing to Him. He also remembered the other things. In Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you've showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And thank you, ladies, what you've done to feed us the last 2 days. That's ministering to the saints. I don't know if you know it, but it is. And this says that God won't forget it. And the Lord Jesus said something along the same line. In Matthew 10:42, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Again in Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Isn't it wise for us to remember and not forget these things? And just be encouraged by this. Whatever you do for the Lord is not forgotten. And what you do for His people, you do for Him. And when you do the things that He tells us to do, try to avoid the things that we're not supposed to do. He said, with such sacrifices, that's like God, He is well pleased. So my simple word and message is, let us forget the things that we should forget. Like Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. Don't do like the Israelites when they were delivered from bondage in Egypt. We mentioned this the other night at Jim's house. They remembered the onions and the leeks and the garlic and the flesh pots. And their mind went back there. Oh, how good it was. Yeah, it was good to be a slave, wasn't it? You know, I tell you, they forgot. They forgot. Let us remember the things that we should remember. Let us, by God's grace,